This is at L6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, with the official broadcast for August 2012. Tonight, presidential comment, headquarters news, a Waro update, and on the international scene...
Hams in Quebec, Canada get an implied exemption to that province's restrictive cell phone law.
Yes, that and more on tonight's NZART official broadcast. Good evening, everyone. Presenting the official broadcast, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF in Nelson. Presidential comment leads the lineup tonight. Here's our NZART president, Vaughan Henderson, ZL1TGC. Vaughan?
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. As many of you will have seen from the notification and info line, Phil Holliday, ZL3PAH, has been appointed as the new Midlands Region Councillor. I'm sure you'll all give Phil a warm welcome. I'm certainly looking forward to working with him on council. If you've not already heard, Niue Island now has its own unique callsign series, from E6A to E6Z. The International Telecommunications Union updated its table of international callsigns earlier this month and included this update for Niue Island. While I'd like to be able to claim that it was our representations and work with the Ministry that brought this about, in fact it was other external considerations which brought about the change. The good news for our AREC management team is that the new callsign allocation for Niue frees up the ZK2 callsign series for use here by AREC. Unfortunately, it looks like it may be some time before we can free up the ZK3 series currently allocated to Tokelau, as unlike Niue, the Tokelaus are still associated with New Zealand and, as I understand it, do not see any reason for a callsign change. But we'll keep trying. Congratulations to North Shore Branch 29 on another four successful candidates who have passed their amateur examination. The weekend amateur class concept, first developed by Napier Hastings branches, seems to be a popular way of getting new people into the hobby. The course runs over a weekend, with Saturday and much of Sunday spent in the classroom, covering the amateur syllabus topics. Late Sunday afternoon, the students sit the exam, and with much of the information imparted still fresh in their minds, have a good chance of passing the exam. Yes, mentoring and support is required afterwards, but I suspect that's not too different to the treatment any other newcomer to our hobby would receive. If you or your branch would like more information on running radio classes, please get in touch with Warren ZL2AJ, our National Training Manager, who will be only too pleased to help. Warren can be contacted by email on warren@zl2aj.com. Now, to advance notice of a couple of events next year, the biannual technology convention is being held in Auckland over Easter weekend next year. The venue is the Western Springs Garden Community Hall and is being hosted by Branch 66, the Auckland VHF Group. Easter next year is at the end of March, so pencil in the 30th and 31st of March 2013 for technology convention. More details will be in upcoming issues of Break-In. The NZART and AGM conference in Masterton next Queen's Birthday weekend is coming along nicely. The Wairarapa Branch Conference Committee are meeting regularly and have plans well underway for this conference. Look out for more details on accommodation and travel in an upcoming issue of Break-In. Elections for the position of President and Council of your association will be held early next year, with nominations closing at the end of this year. Wouldn't it be great if we could have an election for all these positions in all the electoral districts? Please give this some thought and consider standing if you are asked by your fellow amateurs. If you're not sure what's involved, please email me, zero1tgc@nzart.org.nz, and I'll be happy to send you some information. Finally, a reminder that JOTA, that's Jamboree on the Air, is coming up over Labor Weekend, the third weekend in October. And I understand that a number of scout and guide groups around the country are planning a three-day camp to take advantage of the long weekend. How about getting in touch now with your local scout or guide organisation and see what you can do to help them? JOTA is an excellent opportunity to introduce amateur radio to younger people and I hope you'll take advantage of this. Thanks for listening to me, and it's back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Vaughan. The president of NZART, Vaughan Henderson, ZL1TGC. Notice tonight of the Manawatu Amateur Radio Society's table sale to be held on Saturday the 6th of October at the Longburn Hall, State Highway 56, Longburn. The start time is 8 a.m. for vendors only and 9 a.m. for buyers. There are prize draws and raffles throughout the day, and food and beverages will be on sale. Remember to bring cash with you, as there will be no FPOS facilities. A full-size table for the sale costs $25 and a half-size table $15. Register with the secretary, P.O. Box 1718 Palmerston North, that's P.O. Box 1718 Palmerston North, before the 17th of September, as there will be an additional $5 administration fee added to table costs after that date. These details are also available on the Manawatu Amateur Radio Society's website, www.zl2ko.org.nz. That's the Manawatu Amateur Radio Society's table sale on Saturday the 6th of October. Onwards to Upper Hutt we go, and now it's a very good evening to NZART Business Manager Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL.
Good evening, Jim, and good evening, everyone. First of all, to all you listeners who receive HQ InfoLine, I seem to somehow have gotten way out of sync with the planned issue dates that Jamie Pye set some time ago. My sincere apologies for this, and I have now rectified the problem. The next issue will be sent out on the 7th of September. Talking of communication to members, as you are aware, we are planning a membership promo to go out to all non-members of the association. This was to have been organised for May this year. However, due to time and call sign issues within SMART, NZART Council have approved this to go forward now in October this year. The special offer of $49 for 1 year's membership will run from the 1st of October 2012 to the 31st of December 2013. This will also include a CD-ROM call book and the chance to win a handheld radio. Only those amateurs within New Zealand who have not belonged to the association for 3 or more years or have never been a member will be eligible to join with this offer. While it looks like we are not considering members who have loyally contributed to the association for a number of years, rest assured, if we are able to attract enough newcomers to NZART, your subscriptions will not increase in the foreseeable future. Sadly, we are in one of those no-win situations whereby not having enough members means the subs are almost unachievable for some. I would like to offer once again, for any persons having a problem with coming up with a lump sum payment, the small price of $8.25 per month for 12 months will not only ensure you keep all the benefits of belonging to your parent body, but also keep the much-needed numbers of membership within the association that it needs to continue to offer them. Recently, I had the unenviable task of contacting branches whose memberships fell below the requirements of the NZART Constitution. To put it plain and simply, NZART does not want to see these branches close, merely to see if there is something that can be done to increase membership within your area so that you can function more effectively and assist the association at the same time. I have received calls and letters from some of those branches I wrote to, horrified that NZART would consider such a thing. But if we can help you to encourage your branch members to belong to this important organisation, then it will benefit us all. Finally, promotion of amateur radio at branch level is essential. You are the ones who can identify and work with the needs of people in your area. However, if NZART can assist by having a profile at all branch sale days or events, then please contact me. There are a number of people who are very keen to work with you and organise this to happen. I was just contacted yesterday by one such person who has some brilliant ideas. Furthermore, it will give us an idea of what we need to be able to provide in the way of banners, memorabilia, and promotional material that is much needed within the NZART. We do have a small promotional budget, and I'm sure that providing we do not expect too much, these things can be purchased and available for branches to use at these events. Just a warning though, it's a bit embarrassing when I have to advise a branch that we have nothing to offer at present apart from our brochures, as I don't know what you want. Please don't think that because I have asked for your input that I have necessarily received it by some other branch and purchased these things. I will let you know via HQ info line, break-in, the official broadcast, and on our website if and when we do have something available for promoting amateur radio and NZART. Well, that's all from me, Jim. Back to you.
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL, our NZART business manager. For a look now at international amateur radio news, we join the amateur radio news lines, Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
A battle appears to be brewing between the Radio Society of Great Britain and the chairman of the European Union Committee. This after the latter attacked the RSGB's call to arms in the battle against powerline transmission radio pollution, a technology better known as broadband over powerline here in the United States. Amateur Radio Newsline's Norm Seeley, KI7UP, has more.
The chairman of the European Union Committee on Powerline Networking has responded to the Radio Society of Great Britain's call to arms, claiming that every minute of filibustering pollutes the radio spectrum more. According to the UK's newspaper The Register, the Radio Society of Great Britain says that the new standard for broadband powerline transmission will water down existing requirements. This, it says, will open the way to greater spectrum pollution. As such, the RSGB has asked members to lobby their local representatives. Ronald Storrs, chief of the committee defining the standards, refutes that. He claims that it is the RSGB that is risking the airwaves with, and we quote, their pointless protests and inflexible attitude. The problem is that sending data signals over unshielded mains wiring, as broadband over power line transmission does, generate radio interference. And as the manufacturers push to increase speeds, that interference is spreading into the frequencies used by other radio services. That, says the RSGB, is unacceptable. But BPL or PLT equipment manufacturers have a totally different view. They say that the devices don't generate significant interference. Rather, it's the mains wiring is the culprit. The manufacturers also contend that in many homes, the wiring is sufficiently shielded that no interference is generated. As such, they will continue to sell their devices legally. Meantime, UK telecommunications regulator Ofcom has taken a back seat in this matter. It says that it can't do anything as the devices themselves aren't radio transmitters, so they fall outside their purview. Ofcom says it's waiting for the new standard to be enacted, which will give it some authority to regulate broadband over powerline technology. So it appears that the proverbial line has been drawn in the sand between the UK ham community, represented by the Radio Society of Great Britain, and those who want to sell broadband over powerline or PLT gear. And while the European Union Storrs agrees that BPL is generating unacceptable interference, he says that every day there isn't an acceptable standard in place, more unrestricted gear is getting into the marketplace. He adds that the pig-headedness of the United Kingdom's ham radio community isn't helping. For Amateur Radio Newsline, Norm Seeley, KI7UP in Scottsdale, Arizona.
You can read the entire Register article online at tinyurl.com/UK-PLT-fight. Some good news for hams living in the Canadian province of Quebec. A 4-year-old law banning the use of cellular phones while driving now has an implied exemption for those using two-way radio gear, including radio amateurs. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Butera Howell, KB3TZD, has the latest.
According to a news release from Radio Amateurs of Quebec, The ban on the use of cellular telephones while driving came into force in April of 2008. Since that time, different police departments have issued tickets for the use of various types of devices, leaving it up to each department to determine what could be construed as a mobile telephone system. Those who have received these tickets have vigorously contested them. But over the years, the various courts hearing these cases have expanded considerably on what they believe the meaning of the law was, to include a multitude of communications equipment far from cellular telephones. Now, after 4 years of uncertainty, the situation has now been clarified by amendments to the Highway Safety Code, which came into effect this past June 6th. A new article of the code simply states that no person may, while driving a road vehicle, use a handheld device that includes a telephone function. More importantly, the first paragraph does not apply to a two-way radio or cordless communication device, which does not allow the parties to speak simultaneously. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Butera-Howell, KB3TZD, near Berwick, Pennsylvania.
According to the new version of the law, for the purposes of enforcement, a driver in Quebec who is holding a handheld device that includes a telephone function is presumed to be using the device. This prohibition does not apply to drivers of emergency vehicles in the performance of their duties. So for now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk in Los Angeles. From South Mississippi, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2012. All rights are reserved.
Thank you, Don. And as always, we say thanks to Newsline for the use of their copyright material. A reminder that the deadline for copy for the September-October issue of Break-In is Monday, the 10th of September. Monday, the 10th of September. Onwards to RO News, and it's a very good evening to Rosemary, ZL1RO.
Thanks, Jim, and hello, everyone. A quick reminder from Treasurer Heather that the discount for prompt payment of subs runs out on the 31st of August. The Australian Wales Alara HF contest is taking place this weekend, and there's still time to have a few contacts before it finishes tonight at 23:59 hours local time. Details are in the latest WARO bulletin or at www.alara.org.au/contest. Bulletin editor Bev said ZL1OS needs members' written contributions for the next issue of the bulletin. Anything from a few lines to a few pages would be welcome, and Bev's address can be found inside the front cover of any bulletin magazine. I'm sad to report that long-time WARO member Elva ZL1BIZ became a silent key recently. Elva joined WARO in 1968, after she received her amateur license as ZL1THX, and she later upgraded to the call ZL1BIZ. Through amateur radio contact, she made a great number of friends, both in New Zealand and many countries overseas. Elva was president of WARO from 1983 to 1984. She was a supporter of the Auckland Powder Puff 2-metre contest and also the Alara HF contest. A regular participant of the Auckland 2-metre Sunday Night Net, she will be missed. That's all from WARO for this month, Jim. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Rosemary. Reporting for WARO, Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO. Finally, in tonight's official broadcast lineup, it's Branch News. Here's Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. The next meeting of the Franklin Amateur Radio Club will be on Tuesday, September the 18th at the club rooms on Stadium Drive in Pukekohe, starting 8 p.m. The speaker will be from the New Zealand Fire Service talking on the search and rescue effort in the Christchurch earthquake. Hutt Valley Branch 18 NZART has its next meeting on Monday, September the 3rd at the club rooms in the Philip Evans Reserve in Waterloo in Lower Hutt. The topic is D-Star. Nelson Branch 26 has its next meeting on Wednesday, September the 19th. Now, the Nags promise a fun evening. Also in September, Nelson Branch will be 80 years old and will be having a dinner to celebrate. Now, you'll find details in your newsletter and you should have let the organisers know if you're coming by now. Just a reminder of the details, Saturday 22nd September at the Ken Ching Room of the Nelson Suburban Club, starting from 6:30 p.m. A bit further south to the Marlborough Amateur Radio Club, Branch 22, which will have its next general meeting on Thursday, September the 13th. This will be the Constructors Award night, so it's time to start planning so that you can stun and amaze your local fellow hams with your precision workmanship. And finally to Branch 56, the Christchurch West Amateur Radio Club, where the next meeting is on Tuesday the 28th of August at the clubrooms in Auburn Park in Upper Riccarton. Engineer Bart Schroeder will talk on high-performance PC-based oscilloscopes. Visitors and guests are most welcome. Well, that's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG, reporting from Christchurch. Headquarters InfoLine is a twice-a-month bulletin of news from NZART headquarters emailed directly to members. You can subscribe for your copy of this bulletin on the NZART webpage at www.nzart.org.nz. The next official broadcast of NZART will be made by ZL6A at 8 p.m. on Sunday, the 30th of September. This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the official broadcast for August 2012. Good night, everyone. Good night now.